This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, the payoff from good content marketing. But first, in today's fast-paced world, efficiency is a big key to success in the workplace. Laura Stack, president and CEO of The Productivity Pro, is the author of the book Doing the Right Things Right, How the Effective Executive Spends Time. In her book, she identifies 12 practices that will help executives be effective and efficient. Laura is the keynote speaker at the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce Women's Initiative Annual Breakfast next week. She joins us today along with Vice President of the Northern Kentucky Chamber Women's Initiative, Gina Bath, and Committee Chair for the Women's Initiative Annual Breakfast, Senior Partner for Gravett and Associates, and President and CEO of Just the Basics, Dr. Linda Gravett. We won't be able to take your calls during this part of the show, but you can still email your questions or comments to talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Laura, Linda, and Gina, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
Laura, I really like the title of the book, Doing the Right Things Right. It made me really think about it. I take it what you're saying there is it's not just enough to do the right thing. You have to do it correctly, too. Am I reading that right?
Absolutely. Very well. The book was inspired, actually, by my favorite book by Peter Drucker, The Effective Executive, which I read as a young MBA student when I was 21. And he always talked about, you know, leadership being all about effectiveness, doing the right things. And he said management was about efficiency, doing things right. And it always struck me, well, why can't you do both? as leaders today, I think we are challenged by making sure our time is spent in the right way, doing the correct things that drive our businesses forward, and we have to do them with the least amount of cost, time, and effort. You know, there's such a focus today on speed and agility. I do think leaders also have to be efficient. That's why I combined the two, doing the right things right. So your perception is exactly correct.
Now, Peter Drucker wrote The Effective Executive in 1967. Are the issues that businesses face nowadays different than when Drucker wrote his book?
Well, I mean, I would argue that a lot of the principles that he talked about in his book are fairly evergreen. You know, we have to embrace change. We have to share our mission as leaders. We have to set goals. Those things, I think, are evergreen. However, a lot of these social norms are changed. You know, whenever he referred to any woman in his book, she was a secretary, for example. And I don't think that he was sexist. I simply think that was the time. And he, you know, we didn't have voicemail. We didn't have email. So much has shifted in the landscape of business that I thought, you know, it just needs a little facelift. I wouldn't say that, or even attempt to write a competitive piece. I look at it more of a facelift, a companion to the original work. But absolutely, when you go back and read, you know, I've probably read the book 30 times, it still has many nuggets of wisdom today that I think are very applicable.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. You're bringing up the role of women was as secretaries back in his time. Men, it was to be executives. Today, though, I think that the term executive is something we have to really define, because who qualifies as an executive today? That's just anybody who makes a decision, right?
Well, you know, today when I ask my audiences, who is an executive? And I actually have them raise their hands. You would be surprised how few people actually do. I think that there has been a perception, and it's shifted over the years, that executive term implies that you're a senior leader in your organization. And indeed, if you just look it up, that's not the definition. You know, the definition just means it's a person or a group who's appointed and given the responsibility to manage the affairs of an organization and who has the authority to make decisions within specified boundaries. That's it. That, you know, and it's like, okay, who doesn't have the authority to make certain decisions within specified boundaries? We're all managing the affairs. And so when you look at a generic definition, we are all executives. And that's what's really critical, is that we have to put on that mantle of an executive, get past that kind of stereotype that we use now for that word. Because when you are an executive and you are charged with managing the affairs of an organization, making decisions, that comes with it specific responsibilities and ways that you have to spend your time.
And you talk about the effectiveness and efficiency, that leadership, that executives have to be good at both things. They have to embrace both things. What happens if you're effective but not efficient, or vice versa?
Well, you can have, you know, people who are one and not the other. I mean, I know some people who are incredibly efficient but are wasting a lot of time on doing things that are absolutely not necessary, right? And the corollary would be that you have someone who is incredibly effective. We've come up with an initiative in an organization that should take 4 months to execute, and instead it takes 14, right? And because we weren't efficient enough, you can allow some of your competitors now to nibble on the edge of your marketplace and steal some of your shares. So we have to do both. It's imperative. You know, effectiveness can really be seen as the most profitable distance between setting a goal and a check mark. And efficiency is the shortest distance between setting that goal and a check mark. And what would we want? Obviously, both. We'd want the most profitable, shortest distance between setting a goal and completing it. So ultimately, we want to think about what would be effective, and then how do we do it efficiently?
Now, you built the book around the 3T leadership model. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. So when I looked at Drucker's work, and he had 5. I had 12 effectiveness principles, and he had 5. And I thought, 12? Okay, that's going to be much too difficult to remember. So I'm going to have to group mine into where an effective executive spends time, and then really get into how to do it efficiently. So, you know, I kind of broadly summarized Drucker's 5 effectiveness principles. You know, he basically said we need to understand where time goes, focus on results, build on strengths, prioritize, and make good decisions. And I think those are still true today, and I didn't think it was enough. So when I came up with the 12, I realized, oh, we can group these into 3, what I call the 3 T's of leadership, and they are think, team, and tactics. So what they are the 3 roles of an executive defined by where they spend time. So the 3T leadership model is what encompasses all 12 of those factors and, you know, really represents the 12 chapters of the book, essentially, and then breaks it down from there. And each one of those has several different components. And so overall, we end up with 36 potential execution obstacles.
Again, we're not able to take calls during this segment, but if you'd like to send in a question or comment, you can do that by emailing talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Linda and Gina, let's get you in the conversation talking about the Women's Initiative and what it is, why it's important to have Laura come in and talk about this subject of productivity. Gina?
Sure. The Women's Initiative, it started in 2008. It was started by the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce, and they saw a need for professional development for women. And so this was an outlet that it began volunteer-driven, and now we continue to have a lot of successful women of all career stages, all levels, be involved with this program, and we have subset programs within it. So if there's a need, then we try to meet that need for professional development.
Now, you hold these events once a year. How many people typically show up for these?
So for the annual breakfast, we normally have over 700 people attend. Mm-hmm. And then we have other various events throughout the year, but this is our largest.
And Linda, talk some more about the Women's Initiative, if you would, and the fact that you have Laura coming in to be the keynote speaker for your event.
There isn't a person, man or woman, that does not wonder from time to time, where does the time go? How can I stay calm while I'm trying to manage all of the activities in my life to be productive? And so I had an opportunity to hear Laura speak last year, and I thought, I need her. I know a lot of people who would love to hear her ideas, and she has a high level of energy and enthusiasm, and she's the best-selling author of 7 books, so why not Laura? I think she's an excellent choice for our speaker. And this is just one of many events, as Gina mentioned. We also have mentorship activities. We have opportunities for women to get together and network through golf and through cocktail hours. So this is just one of many efforts within this initiative to learn from one another and to gather some best practices so that we don't have to think of everything all by ourselves.
Linda, how is Greater Cincinnati as a business environment for women who are in leadership roles?
I think that Greater Cincinnati for women in leadership roles has evolved over the last 25 years since I first came as a transplant to Cincinnati, where we were still in the stage where women professionals were considered nurses, secretaries, teachers, and now there have been so many opportunities in area businesses and industry that have opened for women to be, like myself, the CEO and president of an organization. It's not unusual to see a woman on the board of a Fortune 500 company as it might have been 20-some years ago. So I applaud the Greater Cincinnati area for that emerging.
Okay, I think we might have some problems with Linda's phone line. Gina, is there more willingness among female business leaders to share their experiences and ideas and to mentor younger women? Has that been what you've noticed?
Oh, absolutely. There's definitely been interest from all different areas. And, I think that definitely companies are looking to help support their employees and help them get that professional development. So, you know, I see it on all levels of whether you are the CEO or if you're an employee of a company, I see it on all levels.
Okay. And we will continue our conversation. You can join us at WVXU at talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Laura Stack will be the keynote speaker at the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce Women's Initiative Annual Breakfast next week. She's also the author of the book, Doing the Right Things Right, How the Effective Executive Spends Time. She joins us today along with Vice President of the Northern Kentucky Chamber Women's Initiative, Gina Bath, and Committee Chair for the Women's Initiative Annual Breakfast, Senior Partner for Gravitt and Associates, and President and CEO of Just the Basics, Dr. Linda Gravitt. We're not able to take any calls during this segment, but you can still join us with your questions and comments by emailing talk at WVXU.org or by finding us on Facebook or Twitter. Linda, you've worked in a lot of places around the world, I believe Japan, Canada, Mexico. How does the U.S. Compare to other countries in terms of the environment for women in leadership roles?
I've definitely seen that the Greater Cincinnati area, as well as the U.S. in general, has more opportunities at a senior level for women, particularly opportunities that go beyond teaching, nursing, secretarial work, which is certainly important. It's just that there are so many opportunities now in the United States that I certainly didn't see 25 years ago. And I think that organizations like the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce have done a great deal to support women in our efforts to learn how to be effective in the C-suite and how to have a seat at the board table and have something to say. So I really applaud the chamber for those kind of efforts and this initiative.
Laura, I want to get back to asking you some more about your views on productivity. How much has technology changed the dynamics of productivity these days?
Oh, in so many ways, Mark. I mean, long ago, in the, quote, old days, you know, and that would include me, putting myself in that group, you know, we just had paper. You know, I don't know how many people listening to this can remember the days where we would say, I'll put that in the mail to you. You know, and a week later, you would get it. And since then, of course, everything has sped up. You know, you can, it started with the fax machine, and now, of course, with email and text, it's communicating, we're communicating so much more. Instead of getting one missive, we can go back and forth 25, 50 times, so it generates a ton of volume, and it ends up, even though it saves time, it can create even more work, because now we are capable of handling more and more, and indeed our productivity continues to increase. It's dramatic how much technology can help the economy, help workers. However, as Linda pointed out, it makes you feel squeezed because, you know, now we've got our smartphones and, hey, we can check our email while we're lying in bed at night, you know. So it really, it has a tendency to invade our private time. And this always-on nature of our society wreaks havoc with our stress levels. And it keeps us from really being able to decompress, to recharge, to put the brakes on and have a personal life. And so, although I love technology, I'm a big fan and supporter, it can have its challenges as well. And so that's part of the issue that we'll need to address at this conference.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? You can have more communications, more quicker communication, but there's also more chance that you miscommunicate, you make a mistake, or that you waste time looking at things that maybe you shouldn't be looking at in the first place.
That's true. And I talk about that in the book. One of the T's is tactics, as I mentioned, and that's where we're focused on being a productive performer. I have yet to see a leader in recent memory who also does not have an individual contributor role of some sort and is expected to have a deliverable and produce results. And so some people, if you have the wrong systems in place, poor processes, inefficient tools, methods, you can waste an hour a day just using your technology because you're not doing it correctly. So that tactical piece then becomes a lesson in efficiency for most people.
Well, it's interesting, too. You brought up the stress that this can place on a worker, and I really appreciated the last chapter of your book, which was about balance. You know, just how crucial is sustaining your physical and mental health to being effective and efficient?
Yeah, and it shows that as your work hours increase, that as you reach 10 hours, that your effectiveness actually decreases. You're more prone to mistakes, to rework. You go more slowly. It actually is counterproductive to work long hours. But a lot of people think, oh my gosh, I've just got so much to do, I'll just keep on working. And they keep adding more time to the plate, not realizing that someone who works, say, 8 hours can be more productive than someone who works 12. So we're not focused anymore on how long you sat in your chair, how many hours you clocked, how many things you checked off your list. Nobody really cares about how long you were at the office. They're just focused on what your outcomes are and the value that you create in what you produce. And that's really where we need to be focused. That's going to help us with our life balance. You know, the goal is to get your work done in the minimum amount of time, creating the maximum result possible, getting out of the office a little earlier, maybe on time for once, right? And getting home to your life, to your health, to the people you love, to the other things that are important, which then recharge you, you know, get enough sleep. And it's a cyclical process that allows you to continually produce at incredible rates.
So there's no harm in taking a little time to step away each day and refresh yourself, I take it.
Well, you must. We're not robots. You know, I think a lot of people have forgotten that. piece over the years. It's crazy. You know, some people don't even take a bathroom break anymore. We actually need to stretch our bodies, stretch our brains. I have a sit-stand desk that I purchased from IKEA that I love, and I'm constantly changing my posture, my position, my environment. You know, many organizations have Wi-Fi throughout their buildings now and places that you can go and sit in a different lounge or in a cafeteria or an empty conference room. You know, we need a change of scenery, a change of pace, move our bodies. Keeping that energy level consistent during the day is going to keep it high rather than peaks and valleys or self-medicating with yet another cup of coffee and then crashing. So we do need to focus on having that productive energy so that we can keep producing all day.
Linda, you've been very busy throughout your career. I mean, how do you find time? How do you deal with the stresses?
There are two ways that I've been dealing with stresses of having a busy lifestyle over the years. I absolutely agree with Laura that you do need to pace yourself, take a break. I also have the sit-stand desk. It is the smartest investment in my health that I've ever made. No question about it. And I also have been studying martial arts for the last 30 years. And if people haven't explored that for themselves as one way to kind of let off some steam, either martial arts, taekwondo is my favorite, but also some activities like yoga or tai chi, that kind of thing, that helps me as well.
And you find out that all this has helped your productivity, enhanced your productivity.
I would say enhanced my productivity by at least 10% from the days when I was the one not taking a bathroom break. I was the one that wasn't looking up from my desk. I was the one that wasn't walking around the hallways just to stretch my legs. I suffered for it in terms of my health, and Laura's absolutely right. My productivity wasn't as high.
Gina, what about you? How do you deal with it?
I think the biggest thing is some of the things Laura and Linda have talked about is technology can be great, but my biggest way to relieve stress is turn off my technology. You know, step away from my phone, step away from my computer, and just take that time for my personal life and enjoy the people around me and you know, let work go if you're not at work.
And you find it, your productivity still good?
Yes.
Still getting what you expect?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, you can email us, talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter if you have a question or comment. And Laura, what is the state of innovation these days? Because when Drucker was writing, he talked about marketing and innovation being such key things. Where do we stand today in terms of innovation?
Well, innovation, of course, is as important as it ever was. However, I think from what I hear from the leaders I work with, if I'm invited to speak at, say, a leadership meeting, innovation is not typically one of the topics that is discussed as much as it was in the past. What I'm seeing are leaders who are saying, look, we don't need any more ideas, you know. We know exactly what we're supposed to be working on, and in fact, we've got more on our plates than we can handle, and it's not more ideas that we need. It's an execution of the ideas that we have. And so these roles become even more critical to have that time to think, to have that ability to help your team be more productive, to be more efficient in your tactical roles. You know, an organization with maybe a poor strategy and not as much innovation, brilliantly executed, can be more successful than one with an excellent strategy, incredible innovation, poorly executed. So you really have to focus on not just the innovation for its sake, but then how are we going to move the needle and drive this organization forward using it? I think that's where many organizations fall flat today.
Yeah, going back to the title of the book, Doing the Right Things Right.
Yes.
That just has stuck with me so much, Laura.
There you go.
That title alone was worth it all.
Thank you.
Gina, tell me some more again about give us some more details about the event involving Laura and
So it's the Women's Initiative Annual Breakfast, and it is next Wednesday, January 18th. It's from 7 to 9:30 at the Northern Kentucky Convention Center, and we encourage everyone to sign up. This event does always sell out, and you can purchase tickets at nkychamber.com/events.
Okay, we have a link to that site on our website, wvxu.org, as well. And Laura, Linda, and Gina, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Laura Stack, President and CEO of the Productivity Pro and author of the book Doing the Right Things Right, How the Effective Executive Spends Time. Also, Vice President of the Northern Kentucky Chamber Women's Initiative, Gina Bath, and Committee Chair for the Women's Initiative Annual Breakfast, Senior Partner for Gravett & Associates, and President and CEO of Just the Basics, Dr. Linda Gravett. Again, the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce Women's Initiative Annual Breakfast is going to be held January 18th at Northern Kentucky Convention Center. Coming up, how companies are effectively using content marketing to grow their businesses. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.